The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Don't fast forward this part. There's an important message that we're about to tell you.
Well, we're giving away some shit.
Well, yeah. So check this out. There's two things that are happening right now. Number one, when this airs, you're going to have a few hours left of our 50% off MAPS Anabolic super sale. So MAPS Anabolic is our foundational program, and we revamped it, by the way. New video demos, crisper, cleaner.
Squeaky clean.
Handsomer.
Yeah.
It's MAPS Anabolic.
Yeah, you look better this time.
2.0, and it's half off, 50% off. This will be ending within a few hours of this initially airing here. Here's part two. This is exciting now. Two, believe it or not, two of our more popular programs that we offer at mindpumpmedia.com. Number one is the No BS six-pack formula. We don't talk about it a ton on the show, which is kind of shocking as to why it's so popular. It's one of those word-of-mouth programs.
I think a lot of people like having awesome abs. Let's be honest.
And it really tackles that particular area with sound science and exercise programming. It's not... It dispels all the myths. You got to do high reps for your abs all the time, and it's a completely different muscle and train it differently.
Yeah.
We will teach you how to train your abs in a way that'll actually help develop your abs. Now, why would you want to develop your abs? Because when your abs are more muscular, they stick out more. You see them more at higher body fat percentages. I've had people, tons of people who've done the program who were lean, who struggled to really have a visible six-pack at 10% body fat, not get any leaner, just follow the No BS six-pack formula, and then they had more visible abs. I've also gotten comments with people who said that they've got a six-pack when they flex, but they didn't have a six-pack when they didn't flex. Well, now that they've developed their abs with the No BS six-pack formula, it actually shows when they're relaxed.
It stays there.
And the second program that's getting a lot of, that's been popular that we don't talk about much, is our occlusion guide. Occlusion training, it's an advanced technique. But it's one of those things that if you've been working out for a little while and you want to add one small new technique to your repertoire, this one will give you visible results in a very short period of time, especially in your weak body parts. It's great for calves. It's great for arms.
It's a good tool to always just kind of have and go towards.
It is, and we teach you how to do it properly with the occlusion guide. So here's what's going to happen. No BS six-pack formula and occlusion guide, you get them for free if you enroll in our Super MAPS bundle. The Super MAPS bundle has MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, MAPS Aesthetic, MAPS Anywhere, and MAPS Prime. It is absolutely, by far, our most complete bundle. It will set you up. It'll set you up forever, basically, where you have all the programs you need to exercise and train. They all got tons of exercise demos. They all come with blueprints and sample guides. And basically, it's all you need. The Super MAPS bundle has got everything. And now it has the No BS six-pack formula and the occlusion guide, which we're going to throw in for absolutely.
And now we have the YouTube channel that we have that's complementing all those exercises. So you go to our YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV, and you'll find a huge library of exercises where we've actually started to put the logo of whatever program you're currently going through so you can interchange different exercises with that program. So it complements whatever program you're doing. So if you've already gone through the program once or twice, that's why Sal said, it's all you'll ever need.
It is. And really our goal is to get as close to being able to personal train people as possible. And I think we're further than most people, and we're going to continue to go further. So again, Super MAPS bundle. It's got all the MAPS programs.
Like every MAPS. You know who has more MAPS than this, probably?
Who?
Magellan. That's probably it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You can find all these programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Have you guys ever been outside in a situation and been presented with accidental porn?
What?
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Accidental.
Oh, yes, it does.
Like from somebody else?
No. It makes when I tell you the story, then you'll understand what's going
Somebody has presented accidental porn
to the brakes.
Well, here, I mean, I named it that because here's what's happening.
Yeah, give me a better
because I'm pretty sure at some point in your lives you've seen accidental porn.
Mm.
So I was at the store, and there was a young lady, quite attractive, walking to her car, and she had like a kind of a like a dress on because it's been warm, rather warm recently. And she's walking by, and
I'm hearing the music.
And there's a car, a car with two dudes driving by.
Wow!
And they had to kind of stop to get out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And both of them are just like watching her, right? So I'm cracking up because they're watching
this
girl. They're watching this girl walk by, and it's just hilarious.
Show me them titties, girl.
Because and then, you know, of course, guys are like, hey, what do they call those dogs? Because we act like dogs. So
yeah,
they're watching her walk, and it was just like, it's almost like, you know, I know I don't talk about, or I'm not necessarily like, I don't believe in like the things you guys believe in, like, oh, there's God.
Oh,
and
all these things. Okay.
But sometimes
we're separate here.
Sometimes I think to myself, like, this was definitely an act of a higher power. Like something, this is not one of those, this is not by chance.
So now you're bringing Jesus into this? This is talking about porn.
I don't know
so
if it's Jesus.
Bro.
I don't
you're
know
so conflicted.
Well, because let me tell you what happened. Like, I'm looking, and these dudes are looking. I'm cracking up because the car now in front of them is gone. They're still sitting there like stuck.
Mm.
And the perfect gust of wind came, and bro, it blew her fucking dress over her head.
Wow.
Like, it didn't just like flutter. It like went, poor girl, over her head.
Oh, wow.
Okay, but this is the best part
now.
Was
this recent, this happened to you?
This is crazy.
How are we just getting to this story right now that's just happening?
It blew over her head.
So it was like a Marilyn Monroe
kind of
situation.
No, what movie was that where she walks over the vent and it blows the dress
right.
up?
So, what
movie was
that? So let me ask you guys. So let me ask you guys this.
Pretty woman.
You guys have some expertise in physics, or at least a basic understanding of physics.
Yeah, we're all scientists.
It would require for a dress to flip over your fucking head, it would require wind from the ground coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't walk over a vent or anything. Wind is coming sideways at the best. I don't understand the physics.
Who's got
this.
The wind machine?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. It feels like an angel went underneath and lifted.
Just breathed.
Yeah, underneath. Because it went over her head, bro.
And made it happen.
Like over her fucking head. Poor girl.
Hmm.
And she had no underwear on.
What? Oh,
there was nothing there.
You lie.
I'm not lying.
You lie through your face right now.
I'm going to do this one of these things right here where you clap and talk. I am not lying.
No.
People argue like that, so annoying. But the wind blew it over her head. Nothing was on. And because it's over her head and she had the cart, the poor girl, it took her at least 2 seconds to figure this out. Like, oh shit. And she grabbed it and pulled it down. And I immediately look at these guys, and the looks
did
on
they
their
crash.
The looks on their faces was like why? Like they just saw a paralyzed man start to walk or some kind of miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
it
what
was,
I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
Lazarus came back from the dead.
Like something like that. And then they look at me, and we all make eye contact. And you guys know guy code, right?
Yeah.
When something like that, I don't know who these fucking.
Oh, this is like a silent fist bump in the air.
Like, let's be honest, your mouth was probably this big.
I was just like, what just happened here, right?
Yeah.
I look at the guys, and we all look at
your eyes are like, yeah,
everybody's looking at each other, and then they give me the nod, like we've all just bonded over this very strange.
Dude, we don't need to say anything right now.
It's never like you all saw a UFO together, and it's just like, I saw that. We don't need to tell anybody.
Yeah. Like, let's just keep this to ourselves.
Yeah, no one's going to believe us.
And they drove off.
Like, I don't believe you right now.
But
is she
and I felt
attractive?
She was attractive enough to where the guys were staring at her before this miracle happened. They were already watching her.
I had a miracle like that happen.
I knew it. I knew it would spark something because
I did.
You never forget a moment like that.
We were playing pool, and you know, this girl was like, you know, she was going for a shot and everything, and then here's the thing though, like she wasn't wearing underwear. She was wearing a skirt. I feel like this was pre-planned, you know, like it was one of those things like eventually like enough guy, like we were all sitting in the corner and we're doing our thing, playing pool, minding our own business. And then just out of the corner, you have this like sensor that goes off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like this strange thing in the air. It's like it just.
Yeah. Scientists are actually studying this at the moment.
Yeah.
Or at least they should be.
It's like extra, it's like the seventh sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, so it's bending over and like, you know, just out of the corner, we all just like looked over and we're like, wait, it had to register first.
So she's just bent over the table playing pool.
There was nothing.
And you could see the entire everything. Situation
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, it was very, like, we had to take a big breath after that. Like, you know, and then we kept playing.
So let me ask you this, because...
God, the power the women have.
It's crazy.
Well,
it's
when amazing. This happened...
It's amazing how they the fact that we even sit here and we talk about all this stuff, that we, like, there's no... women aren't sitting around talking, oh my God, did you see that time?
Did you see?
Hey, guys.
Yeah, right.
He was bulging.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they do talk about that they stuff. They do. Dude, I will get confirmation because there's that. Like, yeah. You know, there's some dude that's, you know, he's got the pants that are just like, just smothering it. You know what I mean? And it's just like,
why? Why'd you grab down your leg when you did that?
Because
that's a big hog.
Yeah. Like, you know, trouser trout. Like, they're it's pronounced.
Sock stuffers.
Yeah. I mean, they tell me they don't talk about that stuff.
Adam's bubbling his words now. Yeah. He's
excited. Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey!
I don't think they...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they really do. Not like guys do.
This is how a girl would talk
dude,
about it.
Dude, you say that.
A girl would be like, oh my God, this guy was like walking and his pants came down, his dick hang out. Oh, it's so gross.
You see
totally
that?
Different.
No, yeah. they have another code, but it's a code nonetheless.
But when I'm, so here's the thing, like it's accidental porn because I've seen a naked butt probably a quadrillion times. I just made that number up, but it's a lot. There's a lot of times I've seen it. It's nothing I've never seen before, but because it was on accident and in public.
Well, and you're not trying to be a creep or anything and be like, no.
No,
like,
it just
shove your head
it just happened. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Why have
it
I
just, like,
been presented
well, it's
with
like
this?
The difference of being a holiday, your birthday, and when someone gets you a gift out of the blue. There's nothing cooler than like, you know, July 17th. You know, could you imagine like you come to the studio July 17th.
Everybody buys me something.
And I got you a laptop and just said, hey, bro, this is for you.
It's for you.
Just because I like you.
Because it's July 17th.
That right there would be so much more powerful than if I bought it
so
for your
you
birthday.
So do you think God did that when I saw that?
Well, I believe that. I know you.
So you think God was like, hey, buddy, this is for you.
He wanted to cheer you up a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know,
I mean, especially when he likes you. He likes you. That's
now,
kind
you
of,
ever
that's
have
kind
a,
of like a
you,
fist
you've been
bump
doing
from him.
Good things.
Like now, a little, gotcha, bro.
Now, you ever have
a sneak peek.
You ever have a situation like this where you're almost like, you're conflicted on what's going to happen? Like, you ever seen a woman like, this is horrible, by the way. She's going to like breastfeed and she pulls out her boob, but you're not expecting it. Whoa. So you're like, yeah, like it's a very conflicting, like, what do I, like, I can't.
Like it's an invite for you?
Well, no, it's just, you feel like,
no,
it's, like
you just can't.
It's strange.
Is she pulling her
you
nipple out
back.
For me right
you
now?
Pull no, back.
It's just very like, what
pull
the
fuck? Pull back.
Because nobody does that here. You know?
It's only weird when she makes eye contact with you when
pull
she does
back.
That. she's pulling it out to feed her baby, but she's looking at you across just, the room.
That's different.
It happened to me not that long ago because in this country, women don't necessarily do that in public. You don't see it. Now, you go to Europe. That shit happens everywhere. It's not a big deal. And I'm the oldest of four. My mom, you know, she breastfed my siblings in front of me all the time. It wasn't a big deal. But it happened here recently where this woman was sitting down and she picked up her baby to hold it and she just pulled it out.
She
and
whipped that titty out.
Yeah, and you're just not expecting it. And I immediately like turned around. Like I felt, you know, very uncomfortable. But then it's like, what are you going to do?
No,
it's normal.
It's
you're feeding
fine.
Your baby. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, you know it's totally mean? Normal. Like, God bless you. Do your thing.
Yeah. So, but just, it's just, you know, there's a, what is that called? Double standard?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You can't just pull my,
yeah,
hey,
I can't
just
piss
take a
on
piss.
A, yeah, why exactly. can't we piss behind buildings anymore?
I don't know.
You know what
man.
I mean? Like,
I feel
it's
like
a
it's
sex
a,
crime now.
Yeah,
were we able? Were
I feel
we
like
ever
it's
able
just
to
sexism
do that?
Towards men.
I feel like we got away with it for quite a long time there.
If you do it now,
or maybe I did. I don't know.
This is how fucked up our laws are. If you do it now, you're going to get on a list.
Yeah, definitely don't do
list.
It near a school.
That is, it is kind of weird how they don't separate that on Megan's Law, right? It's Megan's Law, right? Isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's no. All joking aside, no, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
No, it is true.
Yeah, if you're hammered and you take a piss with
that's real stuff.
You get caught, you go on a sex offender list.
Well, and what's crazy, if you've ever been on Megan's Law before, because we found this interesting.
I mean, every night.
Gym. If you work at a gym, actually.
Just is checking.
I'm just
there.
Like,
oh,
who's the creepy fuck
we
I'm
used to
go
do it all
up.
The time. We used to pull up and see how many were around. out. There's actually way more than you would think. But what they don't do is they don't tell you the offense. So you don't know if it was some poor dude who actually made the mistake of peeing outside and it was half a mile from a park and so he's on there, you know. So or it was some real serious
some
shit.
Bad person.
Yeah, they don't like categorize him.
No,
like,
and
I would like to know if my neighbor is like just a drunk outside peer or he's really like chasing
how
children.
How awkward is it?
You know, like that's a big deal
when
to
we
me.
Actually know somebody that was on there.
Yeah,
and then
no,
we're
I
like,
do.
Ugh! Yeah,
that's what I mean.
That was awkward.
I had a trainer who worked for me and his dad was on there.
Okay, you're going to go there.
Well, I won't say a name. Jesus Christ, sure. I've had hundreds of trainers work for me, so go ahead and take a guess.
Okay.
But I did, and it was like...
Like alluding
no,
to this.
I never. Yeah, this is the most I ever spoke about it. So now millions know. So good luck trying to figure out who it was. I mean, but he worked for me for years, and we're buddies. And I don't even remember how it came up. In fact, I think actually I do know. One of my trainers was pointing out somebody who was walking the gym. They're like, "Hey, do you know that guy was, you know, got in trouble for this?" And I was like, "No way." And he's like, "Yeah, get on Megan's while I watch." And we pulled him up.
Yeah.
We were on there looking at that guy who had just came in, and up pops my fucking trainer's dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, "Oh shit." Ooh. And that was when I like started like diving in and trying, and you like you don't know what you didn't. I think they tell you when the offense happened. Like I can't remember. I remember it was quite a while before that, like maybe 5-7 years or something like that, but you don't know. Like you don't know what the offense exactly is. And I do know that you can get on there for some pretty, you know, misdemeanor type bullshit.
Yeah, I think there was this one kid I read about. I'm not 100% accurate or sure on the details, but him and his girlfriend were dating. She was 16, he was 17, he turned 18, and I guess the parents of the girl didn't like him or whatever and went after him for statutory rape because she was under 18, and then he had to register. So now it was something like that. Like it was a 1 or 2 year difference, which isn't that big when you're that young, you know?
Yeah.
Like she was 16, going to turn 17, he had just turned 18, something like that. And because of the law, now he's a sex offender because he slept with a minor. But they were like dating.
Ah, that's brutal.
Fucked up, you know what I mean?
That's brutal.
That's fucked up. But for the most part, it's a good thing, I guess.
I mean, it's good to know where all the freaks are out there.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah. Where's the bird? Where's the bird?
Is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-quaw.
First up is Big Man James. Recommended exercises for the quadratus lumborum and multifidus.
Multifidus. Hey,
I don't know how you say that.
Of course. That's why I call it QL.
Yeah. Hey, listen, assholes. Yeah. You guys let me put the questions
in
up
the
there.
Lower back by the SI joint.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so since you picked that
question, nothing to me.
I know.
All lower back related. So,
So okay. So quadratus lumborum, otherwise referred to as the QL. Is a muscle that is involved with kind of side extension and flexion.
Mm-hmm.
It's attached to the back, but it's on the side. There's two of them, right? On each sides of your body, and they attach at the top of your pelvis.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people's low back pain can be rooted in this particular muscle. Now, they're talking about having pain in their lower back by their SI joint. The SI joint's the sacroiliac joint, so I want to explain to the people who don't know where this is. If you go to your lower back, at the bottom, kind of near towards the bottom part of your spine where it meets your pelvis, right along the sides, you'll feel two kind of nodules or two kind of, you know, bony protrusions. Those both are where the SI joint are. It's where the pelvis and the spine meet on either side. And people will oftentimes have low back pain there. And a lot of times you'll see imbalances on these both sides. In particular, believe it or not, people who deadlift a lot with a mixed grip can many times create an imbalance between right and left because that slight change
of recruitment pattern, that's going to create that much of a difference, huh?
It's a slight enough difference to wear over time.
A perfect example was the video I did of deadlifting just recently. If you look real closely, you see a slight asymmetrical shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it. I could see it, you know, and it was But that's God.
Well, because you'll favor especially one grip versus the other, mm-hmm. and so yeah, I could see that happening.
There's a lot more factors that come into play though with that. I mm-hmm. think that's a bold statement to say it's from that because
can come from a lot of
things that could be
addressing issues that are looming as far as like okay like I have to compensate. Just by picking things up with lightweight, like I, if you don't notice the fact that you already have an asymmetrical shift to begin with when you squat or all these kinds of things, mm-hmm. like this is where it really exaggerates it when you start doing deadlifts and adding a load.
And also after spending as much time as we've spent with Brink now, I'd be willing to argue that a lot of stuff like this is actually stemming from the foot and the feet
totally.
And working its way all the way up and has now caused this.
Yeah, if you took a video of yourself like squatting or deadlifting from the back, you want to pay attention to your hips, like the top of your hips, and really look closely. If one is just slightly higher than the other, then you have an imbalance, and one muscle, one side, one QL muscle or multifidus muscle is slightly shortened on that one side, and you've created a right to left imbalance, and that will cause pain. Mm-hmm. Right, and what'll happen? The way you can kind of tell is if your low back pain is kind of on one side, like my low back hurts. And it's more on the left than on the right, or more on the right on the left. That's a pretty good indication that it might be one of these muscles, that's causing this particular problem. So number one, if you're deadlifting, make sure you use an alternate grip. Switch sides, alternate on both grips, or learn how to use a hook grip.
Yeah.
But one of the best exercises I have ever done that really does a great fucking job of working the QL. Unilaterally and helping it extend and contract, so working it in kind of this full range of motion during rotation is the windmill. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a better exercise than doing the windmill. And if you do a windmill on one side and film yourself and do the other, and you notice a big difference, something you can work on.
This was highlighted when I mentioned I had injured it a ways back and just going through the whole rehab.
You heard it deadlifting.
Mm-hmm.
What happened exactly?
A shift in the weight. And so, my body tried to overcompensate. And then I felt like an immediate burn and like searing pain. So dropped it. But so just working my way back up. That was the one move that took me forever to get reestablished,
mm-hmm.
the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a very gradual progression. And just like Dr. Brink kind of talks about going into that movement. So I didn't shy away from the movement, but I definitely went very gradually into increasing my ability as far as range of motion and reconnecting with that. So it took me, months to reestablish range of motion again and not feel pain. So I didn't try and press through the pain. I got to the pain, backed off a little bit. So,
well, something else this could be too that we didn't address is it could be hyperlordosis too. Somebody like this, and this is actually kind of cool because I'm going to do some stuff. I have this. So I have this, which is like an excessive arch in your low back. So
it just sticks your butt out.
Yeah. This is more common, very common with women. I have this condition myself. Weak abdominals from it. My pelvis is tilted excessively. And so you're already putting extra strain. So I was actually going to do like a little series of videos where I'm going to start doing some corrective type exercises and movements. Mm-hmm. I've already been doing little things to intrinsically work and balance this out. And, if you have that and then you're trying to do all these other moves that the guys are talking about right now, this can be an issue. Like you need to address getting yourself back into a more neutral position before we're doing these rotating movements.
No, that's a great point. And rotating. I remember too, even I just intuitively like straight away a little bit from the rotation of it because that puts a lot more additional stress that you don't really need You just need to kind of strengthen the recruitment pattern and even it out more. Mm-hmm. So doing like the bridging and a lot of stuff like that where, you know, I can control it a bit more before really putting torsion on that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's important that you bring that up.
And you can regress. You can regress a windmill quite a bit. Like instead of doing a windmill with a kettlebell or dumbbell or even with no weight, an easy way to do this would just take a wide stance, get a stick. Put a stick, you know, kind of in front of you and between your legs, and one hand supinated at the bottom, one hand pronated at the top, or at least facing neutral, and slide that bottom hand down so then you're reaching up towards the top of the stick with one arm and touching or reaching down with the other arm. So you're getting into that windmill position.
Mm-hmm.
And work with your range of motion. If you're in pain, like Justin was saying, you go to that edge and then come out of it. Go to that edge and come out of it and then switch sides. And that's a real nice guide that'll help you kind of get that bend and rotation that I have found to be so beneficial for quadratus lumborum. As far as the multifidus is concerned, that's one of those deep erector spinae muscles. And in my experience, when people tend to injure and pull that muscle, it's because they're hip flexor dominant and their core muscles, their deep core muscles are not activating.
So they got to learn how to disengage hip flexors and activate more of the core and abdominals.
Yeah, we actually have a YouTube video on our YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV, and I think you can find it by just putting in hip flexor deactivator.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an exercise that I demo that's really good because it helps change the recruitment pattern so that the deep muscles of your core activate a little bit more effectively and kind of help with that hip flexor dominance so that you don't place yourself in a position where you may injure your back or at least be a higher risk of injuring your back. Then there's some stretches you could do. Like I could stand on a block or something with one foot, so one leg kind of hangs off, keep both legs straight, and then I let that leg that's off the block come down while reaching over my head in the opposite direction. So I'm kind of stretching the side of my body, if you will. Maybe do a video of this. Maybe we can record a video later, Doug. So
yeah.
It's because it's hard to explain. That's a good, very easy, basic releasing QL stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So next question.
Live to train forever. How to manage two conflicting sports? For example, I power lift and do taekwondo.
You know, something
very similar.
This is a good question, though.
It's a very good question. I think you have to consider the following. If you plan on excelling at a competitive level in a particular sport, you're going to have to relegate yourself to the fact that you're not going to be able to be really good at other sports.
Unless you're an anomaly.
I mean, some of them exist. Yeah, like Bo Jackson. Or
Juju Mufu.
Yeah.
He's a perfect example of an anomaly. He's a perfect example of somebody who has this unbelievably flexible dexterity, coordination, and then he's got huge muscles like a bodybuilder. That is so rare to find somebody who can live in both those worlds. Somebody who normally is that big and muscular is definitely lost a lot of their mobility and flexibility. So conflicting.
Yeah, but even when we asked him, he said how, you know, he does what he calls tricking, where he does his like flips and kicks and stuff. He even said if he wanted to get much better at that,
His weight's already hindered it.
Yeah, he'd have
but
to
But I mean, he's
drop it down.
What I mean, he's proven you can do it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can be somebody who, you know, does taekwondo and is a power lifter, but, you know, there is going to be a give and take. 100%.
That's exactly
you
right.
Know,
yeah.
No matter what. And I think, depending on your genetics, would depend on which is probably going to hinder you more, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe he's somebody who is pretty flexible and mobile and has in quick reactions. So, taekwondo, he's going to be pretty good at naturally. Powerlifting, he's weaker, and so he's had to work on that more, or vice versa.
Which one do you want to be better at?
Right?
Yeah.
That's the question you have to ask yourself. And then after you figure that out, like, I mean, one's going to take more precedence than the other. Until then, it's like, you know, you can kind of pull it off. I mean, it's you can get the great like CNS response from powerlifting. I mean, that's great for like recruitment and power. But at the same time, you know, it's like all those movements eventually they're going to restrict a lot of, you know, that flexible freedom that you're going to have working on that.
If I was programming for someone like this, I would incorporate like our fortification session. So what I would do is I would train like my powerlifting, and then afterwards I would be doing like my Taekwondo. So I'd powerlift first, since that's going to be the most demand on your central nervous system and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then post, I would do things that would complement my Taekwondo. So whether that be flexibility training or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that, or particular moves that I'm working on, I would follow that up right after I'm done powerlifting. I would incorporate that and in between.
High emphasis on mobility. I mean, just to maintain that type of a movement that you need for Taekwondo, because it's so, I mean, Taekwondo is extreme as far as like movement is concerned. Like a lot of people can't pick their leg up. They can't, you know, do these types of moves that, I mean, head kicks and all these types of things. Like you can't get that kind of range of motion unless you are always working on
it. In Taekwondo, it's very beneficial to be light because of the moves and the positions. It's very aerial. It's a very aerial martial art. You want to be very nimble on your feet. And powerlifting, there are weight classes, but you're just trying to lift as much weight as possible off the floor. And so some size and muscle is going to benefit you. I'll tell you what, I mean, your best bet really is if you don't care, if you're not like, hey, I want to be excellent, you know, and competitive at both, and you're just like, I just enjoy doing both, then just go ahead and do both. And if you like one of them more than the other, then that's the one you do more. If you want to be competitive in one of them, then that becomes the central focus of your routine. And then utilize the other one in beneficial ways or in ways that are going to contribute. So like if I'm a Taekwondo, if you decide, hey, I'm going to do Taekwondo, that's what I want to compete in, but I love powerlifting, but really my focus is Taekwondo. Well, now you can program your powerlifting to benefit your Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. So you're not going in there to become like to be the best.
You phase it in and out.
You phase it in a way to where you can use it to benefit your Taekwondo. And then flip, right? If it's the other way around and powerlifting is like your number one focus, you can take your Taekwondo mobility and agility and program it.
It'll benefit you.
It'll benefit you if you program it in that particular way. If both of them are important, then do both of them. And enjoy them.
It reminds me of when I went through this transition of getting into bodybuilding from playing basketball. I mean, I fucking love basketball. I played basketball until I was 30 years old and didn't want to give it up because I enjoyed it so much. But there became a time where, and you know, all the way through my 20s, I played basketball and I lifted weights.
Mm-hmm.
But then there came a time where I was like, okay, if I'm going to be competitive at this bodybuilding thing, or I'm actually going to build a physique to compete with the best, this is really conflicting with what I'm trying to do. It was just very, very hard for me to manage the calories, very, very hard for me to train hard, then go play basketball. Like, so what happened was basketball got kind of pushed to the wayside a little bit, mm-hmm. but I still incorporated it to like ramp up calorie expenditure or take some days off of lifting. So I would interject some ball playing like that, you know. So for sure, my ball playing.
I don't know how many times I've said that.
You know,
my ball playing
got hindered while I was progressing in bodybuilding. So you most certainly can do both. I think that's great advice. What Sal said though, as far as mm-hmm. you know, deciding that one of them becomes a if you want to excel in it, right? If you just want to be pretty good at both, you can definitely be pretty good at both by having good balance of training in both.
Well, I tried when I played, you know, three sports, basketball, football, baseball. And going from football to basketball was such a stark contrast. Mm-hmm. Like it took me the entire season to finally get my shot back because the training was so rigorous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like literally building a shell to produce a certain type of power and movement that I was seeking. With football. And so like for me now, I have to go to more of a skill to where I'm running and I'm sprinting like constantly. So even just the conditioning of it was a hard transition. But then, you know, just that skill and that constant repetitive movement that I needed to improve my shot, like that takes a lot of time and patterns. So just consider that. Like if you want to be really good at Taekwondo, you need a lot of time and patterning to be awesome at that. And then, you know, the more time you spend in powerlifting, it's going to diminish. So,
Trev Goebel, how do you handle clients with low motivation?
It's a good question.
It is. And I used to struggle with this in the early years of my, you know, personal training, because I was under the impression, like most trainers are when they first get started, that my job is to get this person in shape, whether they like it or not. Get your ass in here, motivate you, make you become what you say you want to become. And I'm the guy to do it. So I'm gonna motivate you. You gotta just do it. It's, you know, you gotta grind, show up. It's hard work. If you really want this, this is what you have to do. And I didn't truly understand or appreciate the psyche of normal people. And what I mean by that is I'm a trainer. I'm a fitness professional. I love fitness. And so for me, it's like when someone says to me, like, I can't, oh, it's so hard for me to get motivated to make it to the gym 2 or 3 days a week. It didn't fucking make sense to me. It's like, just do it. Just wake up in the morning and just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. You got to make the time. Like, there's no excuses. And you hear that a lot. You hear a lot of these rants of these trainers saying that to people, like, no excuses. It's your fault. Get up off your ass. But there's a completely different psyche that's involved. And it really hit me when I had a client who she was unmotivated. She would come in, she'd show up a little late. You know, this was during my early years when I would train people hard because that's what I thought everybody needed. And she'd miss a workout here and there. And one day I had a come to Jesus talk with her, is what I used to call these. And I sat her down and I said, look, how bad do you want this? Because you told me you want to lose, I don't remember what it was, 20 pounds or whatever. And now you're coming in, you're half-assing it. You're not pushing yourself. You're not doing all the things that I'm telling you to do. And I need to know if you're serious or not. Because if you're not serious, then I don't want you to waste my time. And she left. She never came back. And I ran into her a few years later. And she was in worse shape than before.
Way to go, bro.
And exactly. That was my thought. Like, there's two things I could have thought. I could have either seen her be out of shape and said, ah, see, fucking lazy, not going to. Mm. Or I could have looked at and said, wow, I really didn't help anything. Like, there was no, if the outcome that I wanted was to get her to add fitness into her life and change some things, I failed miserably. But at the time, I thought I was being awesome, right? Like, you better, you know, do this or not, or I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
And so
ultimatums.
Exactly. And so I learned that, you know, if I have a client that shows up once a week, and in that once a week, we do a lot of hanging out and talking, and I do some things that they enjoy, and then sometimes I throw in things that I know that are really going to benefit them. But they've been coming for 5 years once a week, whereas before they did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than nothing. It's a lot better than nothing. I'm making a positive impact in that person's fitness. And I'm helping them create a relationship with exercise to where it's not this dreadful, horrible, shitty thing that they have to do. So
yeah, that's totally what you create.
Exactly.
When you come in and you're just a hard ass about like these arbitrary numbers and all these things, like you have to make it at least 3 times a week or you're sucking at life. You know, it's just like what good does that do to somebody who's not even there once?
And so
this doesn't make any sense.
I realize like part of my job is to create a situation, an environment, and a relationship with this person to where they love to show up. Okay, that they enjoy so much showing up that'll override their previous notions of hating exercise, and eventually that'll create a good relationship with exercise. When I made that final transition, which was probably a few years into my personal training, it took me a while to figure this out, my member and client retention rate skyrocketed, and my ability to impact their long-term success to where even if I didn't work with them, I found them they continued on with fitness, skyrocketed. Now I became extremely effective with my clients because they'd show up and like I would have clients show up, especially in the beginning when you first start training someone who fucking hates exercise and just hate, you know, they just have a negative relationship with exercise and just can't stand the whole thing. They have a negative body image, you know, bad body image issues with themselves. I'd have clients come in and I could just see it on their face. They don't want to be there. Had a tough day at work, and I'll ask them, I'll say, how are you feeling today? They're like, oh, I feel crappy. I really don't want to be here. And I'll say, you know what? You want to just go for a walk outside? Let's just go for a walk outside and talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they, one of two things would happen. Either A, they'd be like, well, am I going to be wasting my time? And I'd say, no, we're moving. And if you feel like halfway through our walk, like you're feeling better, then we'll do some exercises. But you're still here. You're still moving. And that's the first step.
Yeah.
And or number two, they're super right off the bat, like, wow, I can do that. That's great. And people stopped canceling. People started becoming more motivated to show up. It was this phenomenal thing. So that, for me, was one of the most effective things I ever did.
Well, I think, too, with this question, you know, how do you handle clients with low motivation? Well, the first thing is, like, you really have to have a deeper conversation with them. And you need to dig a little bit deeper and find out, you know, what's going on at home, you know, what's going on at work, like what are the barriers that are sort of like they're already putting in place of like why the gym is this like, you know, enemy to them, or like why, you know, this feels like something that like they're not like fully bought into the concept of it yet. Or just, you know, really just like ask them more questions and then, you know, see what things that like they respond to the best. Like I'm always just constantly trying to read them, their body language, where I see sparks and where I don't see sparks. And so I'm trying to play and move off of all those kind of cues and just get more in tune with that.
Well, I really like this question because, this reminds me a lot of like, leadership and the same type of rules that I would apply with my staff. And this took me, Sal says a couple of years, it took me quite a while in my career before I really put this together, and I'd noticed it not only in my clients, but even my staff and in that leadership role, because motivating people to do something that you ultimately want them to do can be challenging. And one of the things that, you know, when I'd be leading a staff that, you know, I talked about this before on the podcast about finding out what people are good at and making them great. And that was some of the single best advice for business. And when I realized that there were a lot of parallels with that, with training clients, like it was like this light bulb went off. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Well, I forgot that, you know, for a trainer, for people that are into health and fitness, like we love this shit. Like mm-hmm. we love learning and getting, like being not so good at it and getting better, and that we're already intrinsically motivated. And, you know, that's not your client. Very few clients come in like that where they're like super motivated, and a big part of your job is to motivate them. And so one of the things I think about is like, okay, well, what is it like for me when I'm learning a sport or learning something maybe I'm not as excited about? And I'll use golf as an example because I didn't want to fucking learn how to golf. I was golfing because my best friends did it. And I remember like trying to learn how to golf and listening to them teach me, and I was so fucking frustrated because of all the information that they were giving me and telling me to do. And I was just like, ah, and then I'd feel like I'd figure one thing out and then regress. And think like your clients are the same way too. Like you're feeding them all this nutrition information, all this muscle information, all this workout information, all this cardio information, all this supplement information, you know, and then you're on top of that trying to hold them accountable to do all this stuff and change habits that they've been doing in their lives for 40 years. That's a lot of fucking information for them to absorb and then to be motivated to do it. So something that helped me was to really regress all of that and to find little wins, find little things that I could focus on, because just like I'm sure anybody in here has ever dealt with is like when you start to like win at something or do well at it, that in itself is very motivating. And sometimes as trainers, we take for granted some of the most simplest things that we do out of habit or that we found really easy for us to pick up. And we just expect that of our clients. And in reality, a client just making the habits of getting up and fucking walking every day for an hour is a huge feat for them. You know, like they just before they hired you, they were walking, you know, maybe a total of 4,000 steps in the day. And now all of a sudden you're telling them to do all this training. You want them to diet all perfectly. You want them to do all this shit and they can't, that's a lot. And then they keep failing and then they get demotivated. So and this is why when I first take somebody on, I don't give them instruction at first. All I want to do is I want to assess and I want to see what they do. I want to see how much they move. I want to see how they eat. I want to see how many times they would get to the gym, if they would even get to the gym without me telling them to get to the gym.
Yeah.
And then from there, I'm going to make these little micro adjustments so they can win.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come back to me at the end of the week and be like, hey, guess what, Adam? I went for a walk for 30 minutes and I made sure to do those three stretches that you taught me and this and that. I'm like, fuck yeah, great job. You know what I'm saying? So you start adding up these wins, and you start increasing what you're challenging them by small increments, and you'll see that you'll get much further with your clients than laying out all the plans in front of them. It's like when my buddies were teaching me golf, and it was like your hips, your wrist, your head, your arms, your forearms, the way you follow through, your eyes. It's just like, holy fuck, this is just
one step at a time.
There's so much for me to absorb. And some clients, they'll get it, right? You'll give them nutrition, you'll give them the exercise, you'll give them all the stuff, and they'll go do it. But that's not most clients. Most clients are going to fight you, are going to whine, are going to complain, are going to struggle, are not going to be motivated. And so you got to find these little victories for them. And the only way that you can do that is to really assess and figure out where they were or where they're currently at before they hired you. And then when you give them stuff, you give them small, achievable goals to help build some momentum for them.
Isn't it interesting, too, how, like, the wording changes, too? So, like, I used to break somebody down, like, with their assessment, and then, like, afterwards we'd kind of talk about it, and then I would always highlight the like, what they were incapable of. And then I caught myself, you know, one day. I'm just like, yeah, you know, that's valuable information, but, I mean, that's – Who benefits from that more? You know, me coaching them, and like learning that about that person. Whereas they learn it, but they learn that there's an answer to it. You know, and like I'm highlighting the fact of the positive elements of like how their body will feel, how all these things are going to line up. You know, how this is going to build strength overall. Like, you know, more of those points versus like, you know, you can't do this. You know, you suck at this. You know, I'm going to help you and fix you.
Yeah, a person's going to show up. The average client is going to hire you and show up to the gym, and they're going to hate. They already hate exercise. They already started that way. Like, I don't like this. I don't know how to do this. That's why I'm hiring someone. I can't be motivated to do this on my own. That's why I'm hiring someone. These are, by the way, the top things that someone will say if you ask someone, why'd you hire a trainer? These are the top things. I won't do it on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. I hate exercise. I don't enjoy it. So you got to ask them, why don't they like the exercise? Number one, probably didn't work for them. It's hard work. It's not enjoyable. They show up. It's painful. It sucks. It's something they're not good at. So your job then is to make it enjoyable. Make it something that they enjoy doing. Make it, you know, make them realize when they show up, they say to themselves like, oh, I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do this. But they can't do it if the first fucking, you know, workouts are like, if you're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at them, all you're going to do is reinforce to them that this sucks and I can't do this. This is something I can't do. You got to go, like Adam was saying, one small step at a time. But, you know, I have a client who now has been consistent. I haven't worked with her for a year now, right? Since we left our previous jobs. But when she came to hire me, first off, I was a last resort. She had done everything else. She had pain. And the reason why she came to hire me was because she hurt. Her chiropractor had referred her to me. But she came to me and she literally said to me, I'm only going to meet with you once a week and I don't want to do this. Those are exact words. I don't want to do this. This is my last resort and I'm not coming more than once a week. And so I said, no problem. We'll work with once a week.
Let's party.
I don't need more than once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And for right now, because you're doing nothing, once a week is more than that. Once I explained that to her, she was like, okay, that sounds good. Because I could have said, oh, well, once a week's nothing. You might as well not do anything, which is what the previous physical therapists and trainers had told her, which totally crapped her out. And I said, no, once a week's fine. That's better than, it's more than zero times a week. And there's a lot we can do with that because you're in a very deconditioned state.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when she'd show up, I made sure that she enjoyed it. And one of the things that she, and this was her personally, she liked to have good conversation. So we'd have really good, stimulating conversation. And after about 5 months of being consistent, you know, she told me, she says, you know what, Sal? She goes, I still don't like exercise. She goes, but I show up here because I like to hang out with you. And I knew it was a matter of time. It's a matter of fucking time before she enjoys exercise because that connection is naturally made. She's showing up, hanging out with me, enjoys hanging out with me. She just, as a side effect, is exercising because that's what I'm doing with her. Before she's going to realize it, those two connections are going to happen. And sure enough, they did. Now her pain started getting better. She could move more. And I didn't say shit. I didn't tell her, you need to come in more than once a week. I left it. Once a week, we'll do this forever if that's all you ever want to do. She came to me. It was about 6 or 7 months later. Hey, do you think if I worked out an extra day a week that I would progress a little faster? I said, well, absolutely. I said, I know you initially said you only wanted to come once a week, but definitely, you definitely accelerate your progress. You've already been with me for 6 months once a week. Your body's ready for an extra day a week. Why don't we try it out and just add an extra day here and there and see if you like it? And she became very consistent because she enjoyed it. Now she's connecting her progress, how she's feeling, to the fact that she likes coming to the gym. And we did this over the course of a couple years. She started exercising on her own. This is a woman that never in a million fucking years would do any form of exercise on her own, ever. She couldn't stand it. Now she's asking me for exercise to do on her own. She's doing stretches on her own. She's working with nutrition, which she told me in the very beginning was off limits. I'm not doing nutrition. Don't even bother talking with me about it. Now she's doing nutrition. Now she's noticing the benefits of that. Fast forward, I don't know, 2.5 years later, I sell that facility, right? We're doing Mind Pump full time. So now I'm referring her to another very, very good trainer. And she's still consistent. She's still doing this. She's still working on her own. This is like, you know, 3 years later. And this is a woman, again, who was very open, like, I ain't doing this and I can't stand this. That's a huge victory. Had I tackled that with my previous methods of, look, that's a waste of time. You got to commit yourself. You got to come in. You got to work out. That's what this is all about. Don't waste your time. She would have never done it. It would have never worked. She'd be in much worse shape in terms of her pain and, you know, her fitness. It would have been a huge loss. So
this is actually one of my favorite parts about being a trainer. I love this challenge. Mm-hmm. I find this is also what got me into leadership roles. Is just I loved figuring out the little things that make everybody tick, because everyone is so unique. You know, there is no like one exact answer for this person. Like, how do you motivate an unmotivated person? Well, fuck, everybody is motivated different. I know for sure in general, one of the biggest mistakes I made as a trainer was giving too much too fast to somebody, assuming that everybody could handle all that at once, you know, because it didn't seem like a lot to me, but it is. It's a lot for some people, like Sal's saying, like, you know, some people, one workout a week is like this whole new thing. And honestly, like, that's your job, man. This is your job as a trainer. If everybody came in motivated and easy, and we all talked as trainers, like, oh, yeah, I love training athletes. You know, nothing like training somebody who shows up like, I got a fucking goal in 6 months. I got to be
there. It's easy.
Yeah, I mean, those people are like, tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. In fact, the thing that you got to do with those people is actually rein them back in, right? Because they're more than likely going to overdo things, and you're more worried about them overtraining or overdoing it, so you're constantly reining them back in.
Yeah, they're annoying.
Yeah, right? So that's an easy client to train, but in reality, most people are busy, high stress, family, kids, overweight, emotional issues, you know, all kinds of stuff going on inside them. And, you know, I really enjoyed this process of trying to learn, like, how do I become this great coach that could get this person who's got all these issues going on to win? How would I get them to win? And, you know, starting with small incremental goals that you give them, and, you know, and celebrating those small victories and getting them motivated. I mean, I really I take that on as a challenge. I used to love before I was in leadership and I was just a trainer, my bosses always gave me the hardest client. Like, if someone signed up and they were the pain in the ass client that complained or had all, you know, there's always that person who signs up and they have like all these, I don't want to do this, I won't do this, I don't, I don't want this, and I want that. And they're,
I'm
like,
allergic to latex.
All of a sudden, I'd get a call over the loudspeaker. Adam to the front desk, please. Adam to the front desk, please. And then I come up and be like, hey, we got this client for you. She don't want to do this. She doesn't like this. I'm like, oh, awesome, you know. But that, I like that. I like that challenge of, this isn't going to be easy. I'm going to have to figure out how to get this person going and what makes them tick. And, you know, you got to take it on as a trainer, as a challenge, instead of writing them off like, oh, they're a bad client. Oh, they're never going to see results. No, just because they're not motivated like you're motivated. It's not that at all. It's just that you got to figure it out to try. And that's the fun part, is taking somebody who probably thought they would never be someone who loved to work out and liked doing this shit, and 6 months after being with you, they now have found a new love and passion for health and fitness. And it's our jobs as fitness leaders to be able to do it, which is also why Mind Pump is so hard on the fitness community and the fitness industry, because there's a lot of bad motherfuckers out there. There's a lot of bad people out there that are giving bad information that they think they're inspiring because they do all these cool photos of their shirts off and, you know, beast mode this and talk all about this and hype all this. It's like, no, like, that ain't real. That ain't real people. Real people don't see that, get motivated, work out, change their life. Now get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, real people are dealing with all kinds of real stresses, real shit going on, are not motivated to go to the gym. They're paying you because they can't do it themselves. And because a video online doesn't hype them up enough to get on there and get to the gym. So that's your job as a trainer, is to figure that shit out.
Healthy, happy, and free. What are your worst habits and how do you tackle them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
God.
I'll tell you what. So I used to have, I don't know if you call it a habit, but I mean, I guess you could. I am notoriously, I don't know, call me ADD or, you know, I hyper-focus on what's in front of me and everything else I forget. But this was a big problem for me when I first got into management in fitness. You know, I became a manager at a very young age. I was 19 or had just turned 20, I think, when I managed my first gym. And the reason why I was promoted so early was because I was this big top producer. But there's a big difference between being a top producer and then having to manage a massive staff. And I could have just been the top producer and my clubs would have always done well, but it would have been a lot of it on my shoulders, which initially was how, you know, it worked. But, you know, once you got to bigger and bigger and more difficult situations, you know, I quickly realized like I need to be able to really develop a team around me. And that required me to have, you know, a higher level of organizational skills, at least, or, you know, being able to think and act, you know, more than just what's in front of me. Instead of putting out fires, you know, all the time, I had to kind of prevent them. And so the way I tackled this was, because I was notorious, right? I'd get some paperwork or I'd get instruction from my district manager. Sal, I need these statistics or whatever. Okay, no problem. Those will happen. They'll never happen because I'm focused on what's happening in front of me. That, you know, particular paperwork or whatever gets buried, and I just didn't do it. And I got away with it because I would produce. But like I said, I got in these bigger clubs and I had to figure it out. And so someone taught me, one of my early mentors taught me, the second it touches your hands, take care of it. As soon as you get it, do it that second, because that's how you operate. And so rather than trying to change how I operated, you know, really change fundamentally how my brain worked, which is a big, that's a very tough thing to tackle. Like I have to completely change how I operate. What I did was I just used that, that the way I operated and just kind of managed around it, or at least used it to my advantage. So the second someone handed something to me, Sal, we need the statistics, boom, I do them that second. Sal, you need to call this member because boom, I do it this second. And when I started doing this, I never had a backlog. I became far more organized because I was able to handle shit right that second. And I extended this to other parts of my life because this particular bad habit, it showed up in other ways. Like I would lose shit all the time. Like I put my keys down. Where the fuck are my keys? I don't know where they are anymore. I lose my wallet. Oh God, where is it? And it would take me 30 minutes to find it. And it was very frustrating. I want to kill everybody around me. And so I started to tell myself that there's a special place that I put my shit down. There's only one place I put my stuff. I still do that to this day. You guys will notice in the studio when we record,
yeah,
my bag is in the same fucking place every single time. The reason why I do that is I developed that strategy because I lose shit. So I always have a designated place where my keys, my wallet, my shit goes. That's where it always goes, and that's where it's always going to be. So that's how I tackled one of the worst habits that I've had you know, my entire life that just plagued me.
Wow. This is a little self-reflection for us here, huh?
Reveal.
Yeah. Let's see here. My worst habits. Being present, sharing my feelings, and Diet Coke.
Oh.
Those are my three. So
just wrapping them off like that, huh?
Yeah. Being present.
Sharing your feelings?
Yeah. Being present.
Oh, you don't show your feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Being present. I'm not present a lot.
Oh,
sharing
that's
my
a bad thing?
Sharing my feelings. And yeah, and then Diet Coke. So being present is a tough one for me. I'm definitely a cerebral person. I'm a major thinker. I can't even fucking talk because I'm in my head somewhere else right now. I can't seem to focus on one thing at a time. I'm always, if I'm doing something, I'm also thinking about something else that needs to get done. So that's a major issue that I have, and it hinders a lot of stuff, projects that I need to complete or get done. So, and part of what I've done to tackle that is, you know, kind of where I'm at currently right now with, you know, meditation and breathing techniques and shutting off my electronics by 7 o'clock. So these are all habits that I'm trying to create for myself that are, is definitely helping. I mean, I've seen a lot of progress in the last few months that I've been implementing those things. And it does take practice for me though. I really have to, you know, try and focus on being mindful and being present to what's going on right now. So that is something.
And do you organize it?
What do you mean?
Like, do you say to yourself, like, okay, this is something new for me, being present. Do you say, okay, at night, this is my routine to be present? Or like, do you, are you scheduling it to try and get it into?
Well, I'm scheduling it like this 7 o'clock thing. So I've verbalized it. So like Katrina knows this.
Okay.
So like, let's say I come home, like this happened last night, and I got home from work to come home and work some more. And it was like 6:30, and she's like, you know, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to my mom's, or I'm going to shower. You know, what's your plan tonight? Like, are you going to work all night? I'm like, no, I got 30 minutes, 30 more minutes, and then I disconnect. Like, I promise that. Sometimes I try to disconnect earlier. But at 7, I will actually take my phone, go upstairs, set my alarm for the morning, for my next morning, you know, alarm, plug it in, and then I'm away from it. I'm done. No more responses to texts, no more getting online, seeing where the business is at, none of that bullshit. So I'm done. So that's what I've done for, you know, my home life and becoming more present and my relationship and things like that. And which is kind of neat because that also carries over into the sharing my feelings thing. So I'm really bad at that. I'm like the guy who doesn't like writing cards and doing shit like that. So, and that's taken practice for me. Like, I have to, and I think this is okay. I have an awesome partner who, you know, we have great communication. She knows that I fucking suck at this. So she totally appreciates when I do these things because she knows that it wasn't like natural for me.
You know, I'm going to be honest. It's a shocking one to me that you said that.
Oh, really?
Sharing your feelings. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Because I'm a communicator and I'm open.
Well, because I've seen you. I've seen you share your feelings. You've said things, you know. And it must be certain situations where you feel like you...
More so with like women, right? And family. Family and women. Like, you know, okay. Like my love. Like, I'll share like this. Like, I have no problem with humbling myself and humanizing myself and making fun of myself and being open and sharing like that. But sharing my feelings of love and compassion and like my family and my relationship with Katrina, this is just something that love was shared with me differently as a child. And so I've been trained up a certain way, which is also why anybody who's known me for a long time, that the best way or the habit that I've created for a long time is financially. I mean, and you guys have experienced this already, you know, the time that we've been together. You know, I'm the one who randomly buys things for us and does stuff like that with money. That's my way of showing you that I love you, right? Mm. But instead of expressing it, which would be a lot cheaper and smarter, right? So I'm trying to.
Maybe we don't fix that.
You're right.
Give some diamonds.
You know, when you're in a relationship, these are things that you have to be aware of, and you have to learn to do that. Otherwise, you're going to have a miserable partner. I happen to have a partner that understands this and knows my upbringing and is patient with me, and it goes a long ways when I do those little things. So a lot of that's just out of habit. I know when the last time that I bought a card and flowers and I brought it to her, and I had to for quite some time there, like, make it like a scheduled thing, like you're saying. Like, it's like, okay, hey, don't ever let, you know, 2 months go by where you haven't bought flowers or got a card. And so, you know, when I first started, it was like I had to put reminders to do that, where now it's just a habit. Like, now I've created a good habit. Now I know, like, so long has gone by, I haven't done something like that. Make sure I swing by, pick up flowers, grab a card, sit down, write something. You know what I'm saying? And once I do it, I'm okay. Like, once I start writing, it's not like I'm like writer's block. Oh my God, I don't know what to say. Like, it's just that act. Like, I just, it's not a natural thing for me to like do these type of things. So, the scheduling or the reminders, this reminds me too. Even like I brought up, one of the best things I ever did with my staff, which was setting these alarms to go and praise them. Like, I had to do that. Like, I needed the reminder to create that habit. Now, once I'd done that for a long enough time, that became part of my leadership. Like, I just do that now. Now, if you ever work for me, I know how powerful that is because I've seen the benefits from it. I know that, man, when I walk over and I touch someone on the shoulder and I tell them, you know, what a great job they're doing, it's fucking unreal what that does for loyalty with your staff. Well, no different with your partner, right? So this is something that I'm consistently working on. I'm far from good at it, but I'm definitely recognize it, and I'm those are the habits that I'm trying to create to better that. And then the Diet Coke thing is Jesus, you know, that's just an addiction problem. That's just flat out, you know, when I competed, Diet Cokes were something that I used as my like my sweet tooth, because I was eating such a fucking plain diet for so long that like a Diet Coke seemed like I was having the biggest treat in the world. And so because I would allow that in through the first six out of the 8 to 10 weeks that I'd be cutting for a show, because I cut it out eventually, but it would be a part of it, you know, my body craves it. And so now, like, I switched over to the Green Cokes a long time ago, where I'm getting at least cane sugar and stevia instead of all that fucking aspartame. But still, it's not something that it's fucking worthless calories to me, and I know that my body's addicted to it. So, like, you know, what I do to handle that, like, Katrina and I will buy, like, we'll buy a six-pack, you know, and that's got to last me. You know, I won't go out of my way to go buy it somewhere else or go get it. It's like, you know, I'll let myself have it. And then eventually what I do is if I know that it's been like, you know, 4 or 5 times that we've grocery shopped in a row where I've been allowing that, then I go, it's all tea from here. Okay. I'm switching over to tea and I'm going to get that out of my system completely. One thing I've always been really good about is recognizing if I have some sort of an addiction or a habit that's not good for me that I've created, I do a pretty good job of not letting it take control of my life. And that's probably because I've been around a lot of addiction. I've dealt with a lot of clients that have addiction. So I right away notice it in myself if I see myself heading down that path. And then I also don't try and freak out and demonize it and make it a big ordeal. It's just that, hey, this is not the most ideal thing it could be putting in my body. Mm. It's worthless calories. You know, I just got on the kick with the Rhonda Patrick shakes where I was making those. That was a great replacement to that. So it gave me something else to be drinking and focusing on than drinking the Diet Coke. So these are the three main ones that I can think of.
Mm. Yeah.
That better been enough time for you to come up with some.
No, I've had it here for a while, and then I lost it. And then it came back, and then I lost it. Now I got it. No, it's procrastination is one of them. Okay, this is one that's sort of been part of the way that I get through any sort of deadline, any sort of school project, any project in general. Like, I tend to wait till it gets super intense and then to tackle it. So. You know, that's one of them. Procrastination. The other one, like, it's very similar to like a lot of what you guys bring up. I think that's why we're all kind of alike, like being present and, you know, being more mentally available, you know, at home or for my friends or for my family or whatever, anything besides work. Like I tend to have to actually consciously, switch gears and then live in that gear for that moment. And, and then the other one was just like caring about things I need to care about that a lot of times I don't. And what I mean about that is like, basically like there's things like I know that I could be doing, like whether it's at home or, you know, with my body or, you know, if I'm eating a certain way or just like, you know, like lots of things that like are upkeeping my car and, you know, and like handling all these like very task-oriented types of things I know I should be tackling every single day and just notching off my list and just being really organized. And I've learned, and I don't know if this is just, you know, I've adapted to this to where there's a certain totem pole of things that, you know, are on my priority list for the day. And, you know, and then I tend to stay within like three things and I smash those things. Mm. And everything else underneath that just gets washed away. Like I can't seem to like take on more of those items to keep everything else in balance and in check. So, one thing that I've done is to sort of reorganize the structure of that. And I've realized that like, wow, I am just so consumed with these 2-3 things in my day. And that is all I've thought about all day. And so I've started to sort of mentally check myself and then, kind of go down the list. And, I've even written it down sometimes, and that's helped as far as like things that I should be concerned about and things that like I can like visually look at it or just mentally think about. You know, have I done something for my wife, you know, and helped her out in some way, like right as I step in the door and not been like, oh my God, I'm so tired, and then sit down. So I was like, I'm not sitting down when I get home. That's the first thing.
Yeah. I there's a saying, what you resist persists. And, it's funny. Like, you know, like Adam, you said, you know, I don't make a big deal about it, and I don't say, "Oh God, I need to cut this out." Like, I just may, I acknowledge it, and I slowly, you know, reduce or whatever. It's very, very true. Like that, like, you know, because I tend to procrastinate too, and there's definite things that I don't, I just put off because I fucking hate them, and that's the mentality that I get. Like, I hate it so bad, and so I end up resisting it more, which only makes it persist. It only makes it a bigger deal.
Yeah.
When I can just kind of be like, well, I don't like to do it.
And you don't have to do it all at once. Yeah. And I had to teach. And so having kids, like, that really, like, I mean, that cut out like a huge amount of like any selfish time where I was like, I was just lazy to where I would like, oh, I'm going to get to it in this sort of time period in my day. Well, now I don't have that time period in my day. Mm-hmm. I have to really like step up my game. And so I started to just, okay, I'm looking at this, itemizing it one thing, very much one thing at a time, and I'm notching something off. If I accomplished one little thing of that, I feel like, you know, that's way more successful for me, because then it'll snowball, and then one day I may have a lot of time, but I've already put in, you know, steps leading up to that where it goes a lot faster.
This, I also think that, like, man, talk about what people this is kind of my definition too of what like love is. Like, when you find a partner that, you know, really complements these areas that you struggle in, that you are weak at, and they enhance it. Mm-hmm. They don't make you feel worse because of it. They don't, you know, constantly bash you because of all of it. It's, they learn to help you grow in this area or develop good habits, or they carry some of the load. An example that just literally this Valentine's Day, you know, one of being present, being mindful. We've been so caught up in mind pump. I have two of my best friends' moms that literally were played an intricate role of raising me along with my own mother, because I spent a lot of time at their houses and holidays for them. And, you know, I've been so busy and disconnected that I haven't had a chance to go see them and visit them. And, you know, she makes an effort to, and she knows how important they are to me. And they know, I know that when I get pressure from them because I haven't been seeing them or doing that, it affects me. It affects my mood. And instead of like bashing me because I'm failing there, or that's a struggle for me right now, she picks up the load and, you know, she gets online and she has, you know, flowers and strawberries and chocolates and stuff like shipped to everybody, and, you know, sits down while I'm in the middle of doing something else and says, "Hey, we got to write a card real quick for so-and-so's mom. You got to write a card for so-and-so's mom real quick," and does that for me. And like, then the response that I got was just amazing. And it was like, I wouldn't have been able to do that without that partner. And I feel like these are the things that as you get older, you start to realize like that's important. Like, this is what's important, because this is who I am. I'm 35 years old. Although we all continue to evolve and grow and change, not much of me is going to change. Those will be forever probably my weak points. I've already created that as a person, that I'm not going to all of a sudden be this like super organized. Can I get better? Can I do better? Yeah, absolutely. But I am who I am, and finding somebody who complements those areas, I think, is just, man, talk about that, helps me a lot. I feel like I wouldn't be who I am right now if it wasn't for my partner. I mean, she does so much for me to accomplish what I accomplish. So I find that if you're in a relationship that isn't taking you somewhere, it reminds me of that quote that I put up a long time ago. I'll try and find it. Maybe I'll repost that. It's been a long time, about relationships. And if it's not taking you anywhere, it's the time to abandon ship, because, you know, you want a partner that's helping you in these areas, that recognizes that and doesn't make you feel worse for it, but makes you better. So I think that's an important note.
That was very touching.
Thank you.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, go on Instagram right now. Find us at Mind Pump Radio. Don't forget, you can ask us questions there on our Q&A sections, and we'll answer them on these episodes. Also, YouTube, Mind Pump TV. We're going to post some videos. In fact, I think we should film some of those exercises we talked about today in regards to the quadratus lumborum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can go to YouTube, look up Mind Pump TV, and you'll see all of our videos. We post one video a day up on there, so it's always got new content. It's one of the best channels you could subscribe to. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.